We'll turn tonight to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It's a privilege to be in Portland tonight with our brothers and sisters here. We're thankful for the Spirit of God. We're thankful that no matter where we go when we are gathered together, we feel the same Spirit. Mark 16:15. We'll just read this one verse. This was the command of Jesus, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The word apostle means something like this, one who is sent. It's really quite a simple meaning. Sometimes we think of the 12 apostles as having the Great Commission, but we know that that's just not true because Paul was not among them, but yet we know that Paul was an apostle. Paul was one who was sent. And here Jesus is giving his disciples, all of his disciples, a commandment that they should fulfill. Will you go? Well, that's an honest question. Will you go? The reality is that's really the fundamental piece of the gospel as it is enacted in our lives and enacted in the lives around us. Will you go? You know, we often think of this as the missionary call, and we think about, at least I did when I was young, I thought about, will I go to far-flung lands where, they have not heard the gospel? Would I be willing to go to China? Would I be willing to go to Korea? Would I be willing to go somewhere? Well, all the world isn't necessarily across the world. All the world is across the street. Will you go? Will you reach out with the message of the gospel message? Will you reach out with your testimony? Will you reach out with the good news that Jesus saves? Sometimes I wonder if we purpose in our hearts, especially as young people, if we purpose in our hearts to get the three foundational experiences because that's just the next step, right? Well, I'm saved. The next step is to get sanctified. Why? Why would you need to be sanctified? Is it just another step? Is it just a thing that you're going to do because that's what everybody else does? You need to be sanctified because God has a great commission. Do you pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit because, well, that's just the next step, right? It's the baptism. After sanctification, I get the baptism. Well, why? Well, it's the same answer. The Great Commission is still the Great Commission. The Lord wants to fill people with His Holy Spirit so that they can go out and preach the gospel. Will you go? The answer to that question is more important than you may know, because if you wish to receive the blessing from God, if you wish to receive the power of God in your life, you've got to answer that question. Will you go? We're thankful for the people that have gone. I was listening to the testimonies tonight that I'm always amazed how the Lord works things out. The brother testified about being in school, and someone says, if you died, where would you go? Someone went to him with that message. Someone asked him that question, a very uncomfortable question. But he asked, will you go? Will you ask? Will you reach out? We're thankful for those that have come and have done that for us. They reached out. I think about, where would I be if not for Brother Frost? You see, I was saved in Medford. Where would I be if not for Brother Frost? If Brother Frost had not said, I'll go. If Brother Frost had not preached the gospel, where would I be? I think about the people that invited me to church. Where would I be if they had not invited me to church? You all know me. I get emotional. Where would I be if the youth minister had not reached out to me and included me in young people's events? Where would I be if Sister Crawford had not gone, if Sister Crawford had not taken up the call that had been given to her. The question has to be answered in our hearts. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 here. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Can you imagine the magnificent sight? I mean, picture that for a minute. You know, this is a very small building in comparison to what God has. But think about it, his train filled the temple. You know, that means the royal robes, that means the magnificence, the glory of God was filling this place. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine this magnificent sight that Isaiah is witness to? I tell you, it's no wonder that we read later here, and we're going to read this in just a second, but he was beside himself with, "Oh, woe is me. I'm in the presence of God Almighty. I'm in the presence of the one who speaks and things are created. I'm in the presence of the one who has the very breath of my lungs in his hand. I'm in the presence of the one who decides if I live or die every day." It was magnificent and terrifying. Verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." He said, woe is me. It was the right attitude for him to have, to be humble before an almighty God, to be humble before the King of the universe. And he bowed himself in humble adoration before God, and God provided him the remedy for that thing that he knew he couldn't do anything about. And here he is, his sin was purged. And you see the change in him. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I'll go. Wherever you send me, Lord, I'll go." Oh, if he hadn't gone, if he hadn't answered the call, where would we be without those that have been written about here? Daniel, Joseph, all of those that have come. What if Jesus had not gone? What if Jesus had not gone? Where would we be? In John chapter 21, after Jesus had been resurrected, he was spending time with the disciples and giving them some last instruction. And we read of the account here, how he spoke to Peter three times. We won't read all three, but we'll just read verse 17. It says, "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep." Now, I want to point out to you that this is before Peter had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the question needs to be answered. Will you go? Will you go? Isn't Jesus worthy of that? Isn't Jesus worthy of us going? Isn't Jesus worthy of us going across the street to the angry neighbor and showing them love? Isn't Jesus worth us in the supermarket being excited for an answer to prayer and sharing that with a complete, total stranger? Well, they're a stranger to you, maybe. But Jesus knows exactly where they are. Will you go? Will you answer that call? Will you say, yes, I'll go? Will you be like Isaiah? Oh, here am I, send me. You don't have to go to, we used to say you don't have to go to Timbuktu. That's actually a really real place. I've never been there. But just be willing to go. Think of the testimonies you've heard tonight and the testimonies you heard the last time you heard testimonies. Where would those people be if someone had not said, I will go? The Lord gives us an admonition that we should take up our cross. And I thought about that. The cross represents a few things. It certainly represents a burden. So we should take up the burden that is there. And it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you to be able to say, yes, I will be inconvenienced. But it also represents, the cross also represents salvation. It represents the plan that God has provided for us. It represents this beautiful picture of a man innocent who gave his life for you and for me. Jesus is worthy of us to say, I will go. Will you answer the call of the king? Because that's what Isaiah did. That was the king of the universe. He called out, will you answer? Will you go? Well, if you go, if you make that decision, it will not be an easy thing for you. But it wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross. It wasn't easy for God to send his son down and watch him go through the brutal execution that he did. It wasn't easy for God to watch as his creation rebelled against him. But yet God has been faithful through these years. He has been faithful to bring us to this place here tonight. And he asked you the question, he asked me the question, will you go? And I encourage you, say, here am I. Send me. I'll go. You know, and sometimes going is as simple as showing up for a church cleanup. Sometimes going is as simple as reaching out to the person next to you and saying, oh man, the Lord has been so good to me. Sometimes going is, again, dealing with a difficult neighbor in a positive way that can show the power of Christ in your life. How many testimonies have we heard of difficult people that they'd come up against difficult people and they were just railing. And in fact, I think it was Chick Beasley said he was a railer and a blasphemer. He'd throw things. He'd do all of that. But he'd come against somebody who withstood the railing. Someone who said, I will go. And because of it, he was saved. There are so many in your own neighborhood, in your own streets, there are so many that are within your ability to reach out to that need Jesus. They need to be saved. They need because the Lord is coming soon. Will you go? You will never regret it. Jesus will walk with you and he'll be with you. We're going to have an opportunity to pray and the altars of prayer are going to be open. And I encourage you, say that to the Lord. I will go and mean it from the depths of your heart. Answer that question. And I tell you, once you get that question answered, if you've been seeking sanctification, well, the Lord will be right there. If you answer that question in the affirmative, if you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is right there. I will go. Oh, the Lord will be faithful to you. You can't do it on your own, but praise be to God, he has the answer. I was thinking about the last special. Well, I'm going to have, my memory's terrible, so I'm going to have to look again. He watches over me. You know, that's true. And you say, I will go. He'll watch over you. He'll take you through thick and thin. He'll make sure that you can make it into heaven. But if you sit back in apathy, if you sit back and think, well, I'm not going to go. Oh, I worry for you. I worry for you. The scripture tells us what happens to those that draw back. Don't draw back. Press forward. The gospel is rich and bountiful and it needs and wants you to be a part of it. Oh, will you go? Come out to these altars of prayer. Seek the Lord tonight and tell him you'll go.